Tonight, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 1? Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read to you verses 1 to 14, which will be our text, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at, again, 1 to 14. 3 to 14 will be our main context, but we'll read it all 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Let me start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would give me, you've given me the message, but Lord, I just pray you would give me the ability to communicate your message. It's your word. This is your word we're reading. And Lord, I just pray that it would reach deep into the hearts of your saints, Lord, as we talk about what's in this text and what you have said and what Paul is saying here. Lord, it is such a blessing. And Lord, I just pray that I would be able to convey that, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts to just show us the truth and show us just how great of a blessing this is to us, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. And again, just enable me in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of my message today is Spiritual Blessings. Spiritual Blessings. And it's taken from verse 3 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14, we have here where Paul tells of seven spiritual blessings given to the saints who are faithful in Christ. I have a new appreciation for Ephesians chapter 1. I was involved in a Bible study, and we were doing Ephesians, and the Lord really impressed on my heart that Ephesians chapter 1 was not exactly what I thought it was. I used it, Ephesians chapter 1, I used it as a text to support what I believe is truth, the truth, the fact that Jesus Christ, or that God the Father chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that God chose and elected saints unto eternal salvation. That's what I saw Ephesians 1 as. It's in verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. But sovereign election, which is there, is one point in a much bigger point that Paul is speaking. Paul isn't using Ephesians 1 as only a context for the fact that God chose us. He is talking about spiritual blessings. It's not verse 4, choosing us, that is the main point of Ephesians 1. It's verse 3, spiritual blessings given to all the saints who are faithful in Christ. That's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 1. And that was Apostle Paul's main point. Blessed be the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So we'll be looking at verses 3 to 14. Now, there's seven spiritual blessings. Don't be alarmed. This is going to be a two-part message, okay? So I won't get to seven today. Three, maybe four, I don't know. But we're not going to get to seven. So at the right time, we'll finish up. So if you're thinking he's going awful slow, you know, it'll be all right. I think we have some really good things we can talk over here. So I want to talk to you, before we talk about spiritual blessings, which is what Paul's talking about, I want to talk to you about blessings, just blessings in general. I believe there are two blessings that come from God. Spiritual blessings, which is what we're going to talk about, and physical blessings. We have physical blessings that come from God and spiritual blessings. So since we're going to concentrate on spiritual blessings, let me just say one word about physical blessings. You know, the Word of God tells us that God has blessed his people with physical blessings. Abraham, in Genesis 24:1, it says, "And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things." And God blessed Abraham physically. Job, the second half of Job 1, verse 10, second half of 10, it says, "You have blessed the work of your hand, of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land." And we know that Job was a wealthy man. And so God physically blessed Job. Samson had great supernatural strength, a physical blessing from God. But it also says this of Samson, not just about his strength. It says in Judges 13:24, "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." So we see the Lord blessing his people, even physically. David was blessed to be the king of Israel. That's a blessing when you're a king and you have all those privileges. It's a physical blessing. It says this in 1 Kings 10 and verse 9. "Blessed be the Lord God who delighted in you, setting you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord has loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness." These are physical blessings from God. You know what? We've experienced physical blessings from God. The fact that you live in the United States of America is a physical blessing from God. Okay? When you think about people that don't even know where they're going to get their next meal, they don't know how to get clean water at all, you know, and we don't really know what that means to not even get a drop of clean water. And so the thing is that living in the United States is a physical blessing from God. He placed you here. If you have children, that's considered a blessing from God, a physical blessing from God. If you have material possessions of any kind, you have a car, you have anything, you have a blessing, a physical blessing from God. You have a good job, have a job. You have a physical blessing from God. Now, I feel like I've been physically blessed by God because I have a big, never mind, I have a big something. But I've been blessed by God in many ways, and I really feel that all of us could say that. All of us can say that we have been physically blessed by God. So, let me skip my point here. The problem is this with physical blessing. Here's the problem. Not everyone receives the same physical blessing. So what you have, maybe someone else doesn't have. Whether it be children, job, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, you might not receive the same thing as everyone. Not everyone has the same physical blessing. The person next to you has not experienced the same blessings you have. But the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians 1, which is what we're looking at right now, is talking about something so much better than individual physical blessings. He's talking about spiritual blessings that are given to all the saints equally, all the saints who are faithful in Christ. These are spiritual blessings that are given to you in Christ and to everyone. If you're a good Berean and you're looking at Ephesians 1, because we just read it, you'll notice that in verse 1, it says this, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus." So you might say to yourself, Dave, you're talking about spiritual blessings and given to all the saints who are faithful in Christ, but doesn't it say to the saints who are in Ephesus? I mean, that's what it says. You might be surprised to know there's only two words disputed in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesus. Or who are in Ephesus are the words that are disputed, believe it or not. And the only reason they're disputed is because the early manuscript evidence that was gathered together of the book of Ephesians did not have the phrase "to the saints who are in Ephesus." It said "to the saints who are faithful in Christ." Now, there was later evidence to find out that the fact that there was a book called "To the Ephesians," and what we have is the book of Ephesians, is not wrong. Okay, but the thing what happened was, this was written as a general epistle. It was a prison epistle. Paul wrote it in prison, but it went out to several different churches and not just Ephesus. Okay, you would see a book written with the same words in it, saying to the church at Laodicea, to the church of Hierapolis, to the churches that were in that area. Ephesus was the main city of Asia Minor, and there were churches all around, even though Ephesus was quite big. It had about 250,000 people in it, and their church was large. There was other churches and other saints in the area. And you'll see several times where Paul says the word us and we, and of course he was not an Ephesian, us and we, and this was meant to be a general epistle to all the saints who are faithful in Christ. So just so you realize, this is much more broad. As a matter of fact, the book of Ephesians is the only prison epistle that you see, or Pauline epistle, where you see him not talking about one specific thing that's happening in that church. Whether in Philippi, he's addressing something that's happening in the church, or Colossae. In the book of Ephesians, you don't see him addressing any particular issue because it's a general epistle going out to a lot of people who are reading this. Okay, just so you know. So you're probably saying to me, okay, all right, I can take that. As a matter of fact, it applies to us. So let's get into the blessings. I want to hear the blessings. But there is something in verse 3 as Paul introduces these blessings that we do not want to miss. We do not want to go over verse 3. So let's look at that again. Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." I want to keep reiterating that verse because that's the main verse here that sets up everything. I want you to see something in verse 3 here. It says this: I want you to understand, who is giving the blessing? Who is giving the blessing? "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who gives the blessing. Okay. I also want you to see when it was given. Who has blessed us? Note that he has blessed us. These spiritual blessings that God gives are not something we're going to receive, not something we're waiting to receive. God has blessed his saints already. He has blessed you. So that's one thing we need to know, when he has already blessed us. Look at the depth of these blessings. With every spiritual blessing, you need to know that God is not holding back on you when it comes to spiritual blessings. God is giving you every spiritual blessing. That is something that is just so great. When we start to understand these blessings, and God is giving us every blessing, he's not holding back. Praise his name. Praise his name that he's doing that. I want you to also look at where these blessings are. It says, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You could take that two different ways. In heavenly places could mean that these blessings are stored up in heaven and not able to be touched by Satan, because your physical blessings could be touched by Satan. Spiritual blessings cannot. Or you can take it as these are spiritual blessings that come from heaven. They're in heavenly places. They're blessings coming to you, not from here. So you could take it either way on that. Commentators are mixed on how you would take that. So here's verse 3 again. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." These blessings come from God the Father to the saints because of our union with Christ. You see, over and over again in Ephesians, you will see 14 times in Ephesians 1, in him, in Christ. We only receive these spiritual blessings when you are in Christ. Our union with Christ is the trick to receiving. I say trick, but, you know, is the reason why we receive these spiritual blessings. Anyone who's apart from Christ should not expect one blessing from God. God does not bless the wicked in any way. He does not bless sinful man. Sinful man, and I'm looking out here just in the world, in a sense, receives good things from Christians, receive good things from God, but a blessing from God, a sinful man does not receive. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father." So let's go on to the first spiritual blessing. Let's look at the first spiritual blessing. It's in verse 4, and it's one word, chosen. The word chosen. It says this: "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." The Webster's Dictionary says, "Chosen is one who is the object of choice and divine favor, an elect person." I don't know how you were when you were growing up, but you know, when our with our teacher, sometimes we'd have time after school and we were waiting for the buses to come, and the teacher would, you know, so let's go outside and we'll play games, you know, try to keep us busy, and we'd play kickball or whatever, you know. And he would just choose two captains and say, you guys, you know, you guys pick teams. And so back then I was a little thinner, well, a little thinner. But so I could move around, I could do, and people would pick me, and they'd go, I would think to myself, I'll be one of the first people picked or whatever, you know. And sometimes I was, sometimes I wasn't. I always felt bad for the last person picked. But the point is you were chosen. You're chosen to be on that team. And the thing is this. When I'll just tell you something. When we've been having the young adults over at our house, the young adults come over and they play games and they're starting to do, you know, whatever. They're starting to play volleyball, and I'll come out there and I'll go, all right, I'm ready. Let's go play volleyball. You know, it's all the young adults. I'll go, let's play volleyball. And Jenny goes, not you, Dad. Not you. Not you. And I go, so I'm not chosen, I guess. So I'm not included in that. But see, the Gentiles kind of felt that way. Remember, Paul is speaking to the Gentiles here, okay? So the Gentiles felt that way. They didn't see themselves as the chosen of God. Even though, you know, Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, because he's talking to the Ephesians here, the city of Ephesus is about 530 miles away from Israel. It's actually, there's a horn of land this way, and then there's a sea in between, so you could go straight across. But the point is Ephesus is way up here, and Israel's down here. But even though they were 530 miles away from Israel, Paul's speaking to believers here. So the believers would have read the word of God. And Psalm 135:4 says this, for the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, for his own possession. God chose the nation of Israel as his chosen people. Okay? So not many people would think Gentiles are chosen of God. The Gentiles didn't think that way. That we're the chosen ones of God? Israel. And any Jewish person would make sure they told you and make sure you knew that Israel was the chosen people of God. And you were a Gentile. So the thing is, for them, for God, for Paul to come to them and say to them, you're the chosen of God. It's hard for them to get this concept, to understand that they are the chosen of God. I guess not many Jewish people or even Gentiles probably picked up on the fact that in Genesis 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, I will bless you, bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. You know the verse? And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Probably not many Jewish people picked up on the fact that he's talking about blessing. God is talking about blessing all of the families of the earth and not just the nation of Israel. So they also probably would not see any Gentile as chosen. And the Gentiles would have a hard time. So Paul had to keep reiterating this point. You're the chosen of God, not them. You're the chosen of God. Now, here's the thing. Romans 9:6, Paul says, but it is not the word of God, not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are in Israel. Now, I'm not saying there wasn't obviously Jewish believers. There were Jewish believers who were the elect of God and the chosen of God. But not all of the nation Israel. Israel was chosen as a nation to represent God. But not all of that nation were the chosen Israel of God. So Paul keeps trying to tell the Gentiles, you're the chosen of God. And this is something they had to get in their mind. We probably don't have a problem with it. We see the all of Scripture. We see how Jesus was ministering. We see how the disciples were ministering to Gentiles. We are Gentiles. And so we don't have a problem with that. Back then, they would have had a problem with that, trying to figure out what it meant to be chosen when they're the chosen. And so that's what Paul was dealing with. In Romans 2, verse 28 and 29, he says, this is Paul, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward of in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not for men, but God. So Paul had to keep reiterating this point. The chosen are God's chosen. Okay? The idea of being chosen and set apart as Gentiles before the world began was overwhelming. Now he's saying this was already done. This is a blessing that happened before the world began. You were chosen. The Gentiles in Antioch, a city about 300 miles away, this is what says is said of them in Acts 13, 47 and 48. For this is what the Lord has commanded us, Paul speaking. He said, this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light to Gentiles to bring salvation to the end of the earth. When the Gentiles heard this, they rejoice and glorified the word of the Lord, and all who were born in eternal life believed. So you see them rejoicing when they finally realize we're the chosen of God. God chose us before the foundation of the world. Praise his name. So, I want you to look at Ephesians 2. We're at Ephesians 1. Just flip over to Ephesians 2. We're going to start in verse 11. So we were right in Ephesians 1, so right over in Ephesians 2, right in the same thought, I mean the same book that Paul is writing, he says this in verse 11. Therefore remember, you once Gentiles in the flesh who were called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law and the commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and those who are near, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So Paul had to make sure Jew and Gentile knew there is one. Matter of fact, if you look at the book of Ephesians, all six chapters, you will see unity. Unity is the theme. Unity is the word when he's talking about not only us being joined to God through his election and his choosing, and we'll look at some other blessings, but also the body of Christ and how that works, the body of Christ, the gifts that were given and how the body works. And you could look on and on and on through the six chapters and find out that unity is really what Paul is speaking about. Of course, union with our God and Father is the most important part. So, once they understood that Jew and Gentile were chosen together, and that Gentiles were chosen before the foundation of the world, I don't want to leave this truth. Go back to Ephesians 1. You're in Ephesians 2. Go back to Ephesians 1. And look at the second half of verse 5. Well, I'll read all of verse 5. Having predestined us to adoptions, according to the good pleasure of his will. So, obviously, we have to ask the question, why? Why is God doing this? Why is God choosing Gentiles? According to the good pleasure of his will. He decided it. And it says this, to the praise, verse 6, and to the praise and glory of his grace. We become a monument. It's interesting because monuments are kind of in the news right now, so about monuments coming down. But we become a monument to God's grace. With these blessings, God is showing that he has blessed his people. And we are a monument to his grace. Praise his holy name. We're now not mired in sin and corruption, but holy and blameless. Look at the second half of verse 4, and it says this, because we were talking about choosing, and in the first half of verse 4, look at the second half, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Without blame. Or without blemish. Obviously, we don't think of ourselves as one who is without blame or spot or blemish. That idea we think of Christ, right? We think of Christ being without spot or blemish. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? 1 Peter 1:19 says this, but with the precious blood of Christ of the Lamb without blemish or spot. So the idea of being without blame, without spot, without blemish is something we think of Christ. But God is saying that Christ's righteousness has been imputed to us. This is a spiritual blessing given to all the saints. Christ's righteousness imputed. We are without spot before God. Now I know Probably many times we get caught up in our mind of saying, oh, I pleased God today, I didn't please God today, I did good, God loves me, now God doesn't love me. And we can get so mired down in our sin that we don't realize God is saying, you are without spot and you are without blemish. And that is a spiritual blessing I've given to you through Christ. Spiritual blessing is that you are without spot, you are without blemish. Does it mean we don't sin? We do sin. We confess it to the Lord. But our position before God is that we are without spot and blemish. It should make you stand different and say, I am His. I am in Christ. In Christ I've received these spiritual blessings. Praise His holy name. So, chosen before the foundation of the world, that we should be whole. And chosen is the first spiritual blessing. And again, I'm going to stop at the proper time. We're not yet there, but at the proper time. So don't be worried if I'm not getting through all these. The next spiritual blessing we see in verse 5 of Ephesians 1, verse 5, and the word is adopted. Adopted, verse 5. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, my sisters tease me. My sister, not my brother so much, but I have two sisters and a brother, and they tease me about being adopted. They always say, oh, you're adopted. I'm not adopted, but they always say, oh, you're adopted. You're adopted. You're not like us. You're adopted. So I always get them back by saying, yeah, my real family's rich and famous. I'm just with you guys to help you out. I'm just trying to help you out, you know. So, but they like to tease me like that. But at the same time, we've had the pleasure in our church of seeing this adoption in reality with Pastor Tom and Jan adopting Tim. What, you know, I don't know, Jan, if you ever think about what would be his life. What would have been his life if he wasn't adopted and wasn't over here? There's no way to really totally know, probably. But at the same time, you've given him something that he probably would never have had the opportunity to have in his life now. And you see where he's at. And you see, would he have had the opportunity? Probably not. And through that adoption, it gave him a new standing, a new place. We've also seen Pastor Sean and Deborah. With Jasmine and Lily, give these two girls a new life, a life that they probably would not have had. So we see adoption in reality right in front of us, physical adoption. And it means this, to take voluntarily as one child, voluntarily take as one child. It was, you know, say with your natural children, you don't get to choose. And so, but with adopted children, you do. And you see that special adoption, that special I want this child. And that's what God is saying. I've adopted you. You are spiritually adopted as Christians. This is a spiritual blessing I've given to you. I didn't say you're just my servants forever. I didn't say that you're just going to be in heaven with me. You think about it. To be in heaven, if we were a servant of God, would be good enough. God said, I've adopted you as sons. So he's going one step further. It gives us a new standing before God. And this is one of God's spiritual blessings given to his children. Through adoption, he's not calling us servants, but he's calling us children. But here's the thing. There's a benefit with being adopted. Until we were adopted, we could not call God Father. Okay? They know we knew we could call Jehovah God, but he was not Father. When we adopted as sons and daughters, we now call him Father. And it gives us a new standing before him. Remember Jesus Christ said this in Matthew 6, verse 9? In this manner, you therefore you pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We actually can pray, our Father. Now, some people use the term daddy. I don't like using the term of that because God is holy. But at the same time, he allows us to say, you call me Father. I've always appreciated, you know, Brother Gary always says, Father God in his prayer. And he says, Father God. And I've come to appreciate that a little bit more, understanding that's our place. That's what God allows us to do. Father. We can call him Father. We have a new standing. And we went from condemned, you think about it where we were, condemned under the law because the law condemns us because of our sin. And the penalty of the law and the penalty of that is death. That's where we went from. And when we ask for forgiveness, now we are forgiven children and adopted into his family. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at, we'll do first four verses right now. It says this in Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's how we're supposed to walk. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit we received was the Spirit of adoption. We received the Spirit of God, and that Spirit of adoption that we received. Look down at verse 12. Go down to verse 12. It says this. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption. Now this is really good. And the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When we understand that we've been adopted by God, it changes how we address God. You think about it, the pagan world doesn't really know God as Father. Those who are apart from Christ really do not see him as Father. They see him as God. Matter of fact, they see him as vengeful God. You'll even see those in religions who feel they have to attack other people because that's what God wants. God wants us to attack other people. And yet, when you look at the Word of God, it's not that way. He's your Father, and he's adopted you as sons and daughters. So, go down to verse 17. Look down to verse 17. Because here's what happens when you're a son and a daughter. You receive benefits. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So, we have been adopted. Praise God for his spiritual blessing of adopting us. All right, let's do another one. Accepted. The third spiritual blessing, accepted. It's in verse 6, so you have to go back to Ephesians 1. Keep your hand in Romans because we're going to come back to that pretty soon. But Ephesians 1 and verse 6 says this. To the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted is the third spiritual blessing. You know, I almost feel guilty because I almost skipped this one. I almost didn't see that we've been accepted and beloved as a spiritual blessing from God. I read it, I saw it, but I didn't realize how great of a blessing this is from God. And I started to study and I realized I almost made a huge mistake in not including that we've been accepted by God in the beloved. Think about this. Since the fall of Adam, man as a sinner before God has no longer been acceptable. When Adam was in the garden before sin, he was acceptable to God. After that fall in Adam, all of mankind, because we all fell in Adam, is no longer acceptable to God. So since that time, since the fall of Adam, man is no longer acceptable to God. And the problem is that we desire to do something to be accepted of God. If you think about those tribes in Africa, they're dancing around a fire. Why are they dancing around a fire? They're dancing around a fire so they can be heard of God and seen of God. The fire lights up. Here we are in the dark. Here we are. They're dancing around making noise. Why? God, listen to us. Hear us. They paint themselves. I even include tattoos in this, but they paint themselves. Look, see? Look at me. You think about in Africa, they paint themselves in all kinds of colors so they don't blend in with the earth. Look at me. Trying to be acceptable to God. Trying to get God's attention. And they even go so far sometimes as to do animal sacrifices. We see that under the law, but animal sacrifices, this will appease God. This will make us acceptable to God. Pagans, worse yet, human sacrifices, in order to be acceptable with God. Today, it's a little different. Today, I'm going to be good. If I'm good, God will accept me. God will accept me because I've been a nice person. I've been a good person, and God will accept me. And so that's what human beings are trying to do, always trying to get God to accept them. The idea of being accepted with God is our desire. Yet all we can do and all we can say never will make us acceptable before God and never appease his righteous demands of the law. This is apart from Christ. Adam's sin has been imputed to us. Now, I want you to go back to Romans 5. So hopefully you did keep your finger nearby there. Go to Romans 5. And I want to read a text. Let's see, verse 9. We'll start in verse 9. It says this: much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received the reconciliation. That's us being made right by God. I'm going to skip some of the texts here I have, but we see Adam and the fall of Adam and the sin of Adam. And I want you to go down to 17. Let's do 17. Actually, we got to do 15. 15. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. The gift is not like that which came through one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So that in Christ is so important. In Christ. You also see, notice that he, now, back in Ephesians 1, you can go back to Ephesians 1 if you want. Back to Ephesians 1, in verse 6, it says this: to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. Notice one thing, two things. Number one, he made us accepted. You didn't make yourself acceptable. God made you accepted in the beloved. When you were in Christ, he made you accepted. Okay? Secondly, you need to know the definite article is there. And that means this. I'm going to read this again with the definite article there. This is Ephesians 1, verse 6. To the praise of God, a glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Okay? He made us accepted in the beloved. Jesus Christ is the beloved one of God. He is the beloved one of God. And we have been made accepted in that beloved son. You know, in Matthew 3, right after Jesus was baptized, you see, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That beloved son. Also in 9:35, the man of transfiguration, the same thing. This is my beloved son. The Son of God was well-pleasing. And you got to think about this. Not just through the death, burial, and resurrection, but he walked perfectly. We didn't do that. We can never do that. He was perfectly pleasing to God the Father with perfect obedience. That perfect obedience is imputed to you. Your imperfect obedience is imputed to him. Okay? So on the cross, he took your imperfect walk and your sin before God. You, in Christ, took on his perfection. Okay? So, he is the beloved son. In law, in word, and deed. Perfectly. His righteous imputed to us. So, let's not forget that Jesus Christ had to bear our sins. It's one thing for me to say to you, to be in Christ means you just believe that God is there. Or you just believe that Jesus Christ is there. We can't do that. We cannot be found in Christ just by believing there's a God or believing, okay, Jesus walked the earth. We have to realize that our sin condemned us. That we are sinful people. And our sin was before God. And that God had to righteously deal with that sin. So we have to realize that we need to be confessing and asking for repentance. We have to repent of our sin, confess our sins, and ask Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Savior of what? Savior of the penalty of law. Savior of our death that would happen. So we have to realize that in order to be in Christ, We need to be those who have asked Jesus Christ into our heart, made us accepted in the Beloved to the praise and glory of His grace. Now, there are more blessings, but I'm going to skip over those blessings and we'll come back to them next time. There are four more blessings that God has already given to all the saints who are faithful in Christ. Praise His name. Praise His name that these blessings are given to us. So let me say this in conclusion. Verse 3, the main text that opens this up. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Sometimes I hear Christians answer the question. People say, how are you doing today? You know how we say hi? How are you doing today? And they say, I'm blessed. I'm really blessed. I don't know if you've heard anybody ever say that. You know, and I used to think, okay. But then I realized, you know what? That's actually a pretty accurate answer. We as Christians have really been blessed. God has blessed us in so many different ways. He blesses us, again, physically. He blesses us with these spiritual gifts He's given to us. He did it, by the way, not us. He gave us these blessings. And so when someone says, I'm blessed, thank you, that's pretty accurate. Now, the world might not know what they mean by that. They might not know what a Christian means when they say I'm blessed. So from the world's point of view, they don't understand what that means. But we should understand what that means. We as Christians should understand we have been blessed. We've been blessed by God. We've been chosen. We've been adopted. We've been accepted by God. Praise His holy name. That should change how we live. It should change how we respond. However, again, there's responsibility. God gives us something to do, not just be called the elect of God, not just be called accepted, not just be called beloved. God says there's responsibility for that. With that. In Ephesians 2, I guess you're nearby, so you can flip over. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it says this. Paul says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we're blessed, but God blessed us for a reason, that we would be His hands, that we would be His feet, that we would be the church of God. He blessed us for a reason. It was His good pleasure. It was His good will. He determined it. But there's an action that comes out of that. We respond. We praise His holy name. So I think as Christians, we need to realize that one of the things that is, I wouldn't say alarming, one of the things I would say that we need to say to our non-Christian friends, those who are not in Christ, when God says it is appointed once for men to die and then the judgment, every one of us could probably say to our non-Christian friends, you may not think there's a judgment. You may not think you're condemned in the law already, but you're not blessed. And we don't have to say this, but they're not blessed. They're condemned. I say my gray hair, which I have one or two, my gray hair shows that I was under the curse. It shows the fact that the dying process, death is the penalty. So when you see your friends out there saying, I think I'm pretty good. I think I'm all right. Well, you're under the curse. I'm under the curse. You have gray hair. You're dying, right? That's the penalty for the curse. So you can try and get around it all you want. But right there in your body, it shows you that you have the penalty of the curse, right? It's there. However, we who are in Christ do not have to worry about that. Christ paid that penalty. Christ paid that penalty. Spiritual blessing to us. Praise His holy name. I'll finish with this. I hope that you understand that we have been freed. We have been freed from the penalty of sin. Adopted, chosen, accepted before God. I hope that changes how you live. That you don't say, ah, my sin, my sin, my sin. Our sin is before us. Our sin we need to daily confess. But don't live in your sin. God is saying to you, you have been chosen. You have been adopted. You are my sons and daughters. This is a new standing for you. And while you need to confess your sins daily, your ultimate sin has been paid. And you need to see yourself differently. You're not them in the world. You are mine. You are chosen. You are adopted. And then there's more. There's four more that we're going to go through, but we'll go through them next time, probably in September. So praise His holy name for spiritual blessings. And I now see the book of Ephesians totally different. You know, chosen is there. And we can use that text to support, you know, what we're talking about, the sovereign election of His people. But Paul is talking about spiritual blessings given to the saints who are faithful in Christ. Now, I use the word faithful because it's in there. And the reason it's in there is because a real child of God is faithful. You're faithful in wanting to please God. You're faithful in wanting to use the means of grace. Doesn't mean you do it perfectly, but you have that desire. You are faithful. That's an evidence of God adopting you, of God choosing you. Your salvation, you are faithful. The saints who are faithful in Christ, and Paul's saying, here are spiritual blessings. That's what Ephesians 1 is about. Praise his holy name. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you so much for these spiritual blessings. And the ones that we haven't even talked about, Lord, these spiritual blessings listed, you have given to us. You've given to us in Christ. Thank you so much, Lord. We can't thank you enough because some of the spiritual blessings are what we'll have in eternity. And we do have these blessings now. You have blessed us. Praise your holy name, Lord, for what you've done for your children and how you adopted us into a family. How have you accepted us in the beloved of your Son? Lord, we can't thank you enough for our position before you, Lord, because it's all of you. It's not us. It's all of you. You did this. You chose us before the foundation of the world. You accepted us. You adopted us through the work of your Son. Lord, we thank you so much for spiritual blessings given to the saints who are faithful in Christ. May we live like that, Lord. Help us to change our mind, our attitude, and the fact that we are the chosen children of God. Praise your holy name. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.